If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. I am here with, I was going to say Mercedes Moné with this curly hair. I love this look. I love this look on the beautiful Cresta, who's been, listen, she was up early today, but she was like, you know what? The grind don't stop for me, man. Okay. I am here to talk some SmackDown with you, Kate. Appreciate her jumping in here. But get in those super chats, get in those humper chats, subscribe to this YouTube channel. We've had a busy one on Fightful Select, including the return of the thing that everybody loves most. We had a rec spec post about TNA TV rights and all sorts of things going on. A lot of contract news that has been breaking. Some exciting news. I don't think we broke it. I think AEW broke it, but Ace Austin sided with AEW. Big locking down of some people for the AEW side. Kyle Fletcher has gotten hooked in. We had a hook scoop that he had actually re-signed last year, as well as some producer news on a couple of talent that have been taking on the producer role who have been active wrestling talent for AEW. Lots and lots of stuff. Tons of Karrion Kross updates that you guys have wanted. We heard we want Kross chance tonight. But we're going to talk about it all. Before we do, Cresta, how you doing, darling?
Guys, I'm so tired, but I am here with you. My spirits may be down, but with you guys, you lift me up. I'm here. I am here. That's going to be my official corporate answer. Corporate Cresta is clocked in because the grind doesn't stop. Oh, brother.
I feel like that's about where SmackDown was tonight. They were here to put on an episode. We're going to talk about what
day I was it. Sports entertained, actually. I was okay. Very sports entertained. I mean, then again, I'm a Care Bear.
I'm glad. Well, I'm glad you were sports entertained because you've had a long day. So if you were sports apathetic, that would be brutal. But before we even dig in, some love from the chat. Big Jim saying, yes to Cresta. Kate, it seems that you're part of the two finest tag teams in the biz. Genuinely. So this is now, I'm as of yesterday in my fifth year at Fightful already. I cannot believe that I am going into year number five. But one of my favorite things about working here is not only have I been trusted with shows most nights of the week, but getting to work with so many different people's energies and perspectives and women and men of all ages and all backgrounds. Like it's really refreshing because I don't feel like I'm in the same groove any 2 days of the week for the most part. It's really, really fun, but I've loved having Cresta here on Friday nights. We'll see how much we can convince her to maybe stick around, but let's keep chatting along with Orion Ben, who says, shout out to Bangs, Cresta, Denise, Alex, Queenie, Kylie, and now Wheezy. Welcome back to YouTube for not mincing words about the Brock situation. Hoo boy. There's been a lot of women that are, especially women in wrestling media. I feel like Alex, Queen of the Ring, did an incredible video that I recommend you guys go check out. I was debating whether to do one or not. But to bring Brock back and then to also cancel pressers so that we don't even have a voice about it directly to WWE, all in the same foul swoop, A, doesn't feel like a coincidence. B, it sure feels like all of the shots that they've taken at wrestling media and telling people to just be a fan and these things, like, feels like they don't want you believing the things that maybe our boss is reporting because it doesn't necessarily make them look great. But one thing that I'm really proud of, and Cresta, if you want to speak to anything about, we covered it last week, but further, feel free to. But I'll just say, like, I'm so blown away by how many women in wrestling media there are and how strong and incredible they are and the way that they use their voices. And don't be fooled. A lot of them are younger than me. There are some women in their young and mid-20s that don't give a crap. They are so confident and beautifully strong in a way that I don't know if I was in my mid-20s. And I'm so inspired that we have everyone from Weezy, who does mostly like WWE watch along content, all the way to people like Lyric, who doesn't really watch WWE, but covers international, like AEW and Mexican wrestling, and especially Japanese wrestling. Like, there are so many women's voices participating in wrestling media that have not been before. And the confidence to speak up about it is not always easy to come across, because this is a 90% male demographic. And I don't know if you've noticed this, Cresta, but it's not always the friendliest environment for women. I don't know if you picked up on that in our time.
That in my experience, I find that the most toxicity that us women face are people online when they're anonymous. Because when I go to wrestling spaces, people are often cool. And yes, it's kind of disappointing that wrestling fans get a bad rap because of the wrestling community. Also, to your point about women speaking up about Brock Lesnar, I think, and I want to say thank God for the new day, but also thank God that we're in a new era where people don't feel like if I say something, it's curtains for me with anything that I want to do.
Sure. So
it's quite nice. It's quite refreshing. Because, like, just for me, sometimes it's like, I don't even want to get into it because it's going to make my eyes roll in the back of my head and summon Cthulhu. Well, maybe I'm just going to look at it from a kayfabe sense. It don't even make sense. And if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. But whatever. But I like that people can voice their opinion. And for the most part, whether it's negative or super negative, you can still voice it. People aren't being poop heads about it. That's my corporate answer.
Whoa, poop heads. That is some strong language here on a Friday night. I will say it feels like they've cut off our access to WWE, like cutting out pressers. They're not going to be doing junkets likely until next April. A lot of people's access was revoked in that sense. But what's so amazing is women have their own platforms that are so robust now that they're being listened to in a way that I don't think that they have before. So I'm with you on that. Like, it's cool that people are speaking up a little bit more without abandon. And you're 100% right about it just being like first name, bunch of numbers, Roman Reigns or Kenny Omega avatar, talking a bunch of smack. And they usually have 3 followers and they are all porn bots.
And what if I block you, pal? Also, I feel like,
what if I just block you and you don't exist in my life?
Also, weren't the press junkets like not a thing in WWE until AEW started doing them?
Yes, that was like a response to AEW doing them. You know, it's so funny, Cresta, because there's all this like AEW is the minor leagues thing, but then they do pressers and they build relationships with a Mexican company and they build relationships with the Japanese company and Noah, and they work with TNA. And for a minor league company, they sure do emulate a lot of the stuff that they're doing a lot.
I'm going to go ahead and say, you can hate the player, but don't hate the game, and game recognize game. And I see you for who you are. And you're always been that girl, WWE. You're exactly that girl who I thought you were. So,
well, it's all about the game, Cresta, and how you play it. All right. So
I don't run from the grind. That's why I'm here all weekend, all Cresta, all meat. Shout out to Meat Normans.
Yeah. You know what? Speak of the devil here. Meat Normans saying, my mic sounds nice. Check one. My mic sounds nice. Let's crank. You two look sweeter than a plate of yams with extra syrup. Hope SmackDown wasn't too poopy. Ups and downs today for the old SmackDown, I would say. Ups and downs. But Krusty was sports entertained. That's what matters. Taylor Cannon saying, congratulations on your Fightful anniversary, Kate. So happy you're here. I'll say this, though. I hope there are bigger things for Mello soon. You win. Me both. We got Taylor Cannon saying, hello, favorite post-show, Kate and corporate Cresta on a Friday. Hope you both are well. Taylor, I hope you're well, and I hope you have an amazing weekend, and I hope in your pockets you find an extra $20 this weekend and you spend it on yourself. Invest in yourself. Tina Key saying, didn't catch the show tonight, but just wanted to show love and send hugs. Also, rub the Mets loss in Kate's face. Ha, ha, ha. I'm a Yankee fan, so. We're doing a great job being pathetic on our own. We don't need to compare ourselves to the Mets. They've been terrible. But C. Delgado also saying, no spoilers, but tomorrow's collision is very good. Heard good things. Heard very, very good things. Also heard ROH was trying.
So hey, listen, they got to do something. They got to come back. I believe in Ring of Honor. Bring yourself back. Resurrect yourself.
I mean, I would if they weren't like, Athena's going to face Mina and definitely beat her at the next pay-per-view. Like, just
she's
let
69.
Her.
She has to 69, Mina. Is that the joke?
Well, Athena has 68 titled wins, I think, or 68 wins. And so, yeah, Mina was like, but you're never going to 69 me. So, but we're not here to talk AEW. Let's get into tonight's episode of SmackDown. Thank you so much for joining us, but let's dig in as I scroll my notes. They're in Boston, Massachusetts today, which you would think would be like a big John Cena show, but it is what it is.
He has 11 dates. He wasn't wasting it at home. Sorry, pal.
He was, but I was like, isn't that the one you would want? Like, let's roll out of bed, brother. But we open with a recap of Drew. Absolutely drilling Cody Rhodes' head into the announce desk last week. We see him arriving backstage before Solo Sikoa and the MFTs hit the ring. Solo boasting that his crew runs SmackDown. They're stomping out everybody. They're taking out Sami Zayn on Raw, which brings Sami Zayn out, who reveals that Solo actually kind of freed him up from this pressure of chasing the world title. And he's got his eyes on that U.S. championship. It's the one belt he's never held outside of a world title, which I'm like, that kind of limits it, but all right. That doesn't leave that many other than the tag titles and the Continental, right? Unless he's meaning the 24/7 championship, but all right.
Maybe he's a belt collector. He's emulating CEO. Maybe.
Maybe he's got a little of this in him. A little of that.
Sammy would absolutely do that.
He absolutely would. He absolutely would, but Solo dismisses him. We, of course, get a brawl, and Nick Aldis makes for tonight's main event between Sammy, Jimmy, and Fatu versus Solo, JC Mateo, and Tongaloa. Fun fact, in the main event, the graphic read Tamatanga, but it was definitely Tongaloa who came out. I don't have a problem with this setup. My concerns are I don't need a Sami Zayn U.S. title picture excursion. Like, he's in the world title picture on Raw for a reason, and I don't know if him chasing around another belt does anything, because if he loses, he looks like a chump, and if he wins, what was the point of everything between Fatu and Solo? So I'm not in love with that, and I also am getting really tired of shows being made on the show. Like, last week's SmackDown, 3 of the matches were made on the show. This week's Raw, I think 3 of the matches were made on the show. Have cards where things are in advance. Now, there were more things tonight that had been announced in advance, which is good. But I just feel like you should have a card for your show. In the segment, we also get Sammy announcing that he is a part of the SmackDown roster officially. Your thoughts and your degree of being sports entertained on this opening segment here.
First and foremost, Solo Sikoa is so funny.
He's amazing.
He's so funny. He said, nah, I'm running SmackDown with the NFTs. And I'm like, he's very unserious. And I will say this every week. I'm very happy for him. I don't know if they were chanting for him or if they started, we want cross chants, which either way, I don't know how I feel. Something works, shoot something or the other, but also cheer for Solo Sikoa, I guess. I don't know. I don't hate in the essence of Sami Zayn going for the United States Championship. It does, to your point, make the things between him and Jacob Fatu, like, I guess if you want, I guess. But yeah, the title scene is extremely crowded right now, everywhere you look. there's like five really, really, really good guys. And while Sammy is a 20 in a room full of 10s, the guys at the top are 35. And that's not even, there's no fault of his own. No fault of his own. So if you take it off of Solo Sikoa, that's funny. But a match between him and Jacob Fatu, that's money. So that's my two cents.
Okay.
Come on, Corporate Cresta, with the catchphrase. So
put it on a t-shirt. Shopped up.
I want my 5%. I want my five. At Fightful, I want my 25%. WWE, I want my 5%. Because I know it's
going to
be a lot more.
I love it. Yeah, I think I don't want Sami Zayn to get into the what an amazing loser category. There were times in NXT, I love Johnny Gargano so much. But there were times in NXT I was like, man, I love this guy. He's too good at losing. Like, I don't want Sami Zayn to be in that. But Anthony Velasquez saying, Sami Zayn on SmackDown just feels right. Hopefully they still continue his world title pursuit story once he gets past this feud with Solo. So the other thing that this segment told me is I'm like, Sami Zayn's winning the Royal Rumble then. So he can choose his champion. That's what that felt like to me. But Anthony Velasquez saying, speaking of Solo, they need to book him as a bigger threat. He always takes pins when he doesn't win. It's because of the interference. So I agree with this wholeheartedly. And I brought this up months ago of, while this is going on with Solo, I would just have him squashing people along the way. Enhancement talent, NXT talent, people that are lower on the card. Because it feels like Solo is the leader of the group, but also can't buy a win kind of thing. And we see the same playbook play out every time. Are you like, I don't need him to have wins to make me believe in him? Or are you like, yeah, he should be getting some W's along the way on this?
Solo Sikoa?
Yeah.
You know, I will defer to the fact that The Miz and JBL were champions. And they did similar things. And in Solo Sikoa's case, you thinking you're the funniest guy in the room and you're laughing before you even get the joke out. He's turned the bend so far on corny that it's hilarious. So I cannot be upset. If he wins, that's great. It'll give you credibility. Technically, you have credibility for being in the bloodline. But also, it pops me every time he says, you guys aren't doing anything. Like, brother, it is that funny because you did that. It's not that funny what you said, but because you did. He gets me every time. So
yeah.
You don't so need you're, to be you're a good in deal. Hey, I hate that I am, but yes.
Well, the thing with Solo, too, is, it's funny because I watched him at NXT and a lot of people, their first impression of him was stoic enforcer bloodline guy. Uh-huh. And what was to me in NXT, he had this incredible babyface understated appeal about him. And so when he came up and was stoic guy, I was like, oh, I didn't know this was like, we hadn't seen this side of him before. And now we're getting sarcastic heel. And I just like, I'm impressed by his ability to transition through all of those things. And I'm glad people are gravitating to him because I feel like I saw something in him earlier than a lot of people did. Not because I'm like so great, just because I saw what he could do. In NXT. So Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. I still don't really know what's going on with WWE. So here to support you and say hello. Well, hello. And thank you for the support. Sammy has to win the Rumble with it being in Saudi, please. Probably Roman, though. I don't think Roman, because next year is Roman's contract year, and I don't think they're going to be, like, assuming he's going to be around full-time. So I don't know if he's going to get more, like, big title stuff. If The Rock wants to come to work, maybe they'll try and pull that off. But I think it's probably Sammy's Rumble to win unless it's CM Punk. But I don't think Punk needs a Rumble win to get into a championship program. But CM Punk's also never won the Royal Rumble. So they might want to do that. But it feels like Sammy's.
I will stop you in that moment and say, when has that stopped WWE from having someone win the Rumble who doesn't need it to be in the championships?
You raise a great point, because as recently as last year, Charlotte Flair, or this year rather, Charlotte Flair returned for it. So, but I'm with you. I'm with you. Me, Norm is saying Beef is back on ROH. Let's bring back the post show. That's enough to get SP3 back. I don't know if it's enough to get me back, but it's enough to get SP3 back.
I want to adjust a comment real quickly in chat. Everett Smith says Solo Sikoa is the Max Caster of WWE. I dare to say he's more the Ricochet, because he's really corny. He's got a bunch of thugs behind him.
You know what? I love that comparison. Speaking of Max Caster, thanks for the easy plug.
Hey.
I did a video on my own YouTube channel talking about the three things that I was wrong about in AEW, and Max Caster was one of them. I was like, this gimmick isn't going to go anywhere. This is dumb. It's never going to work. It's never going to get over. It's fantastic. It is working so, so well. But let's keep rocking and rolling through this episode. Backstage, we have Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, and Alba Fire promising to win tag titles. And we move into our match between Alexa with Charlotte Flair and Piper Niven, who has Chelsea Green and Alba Fire with her. Man, do I love watching Piper Niven wrestle. I wish we got to see this side of Piper Niven more often. It's not never, but I just love her. I think she's so incredible. She's got that black hole slam. She can cannonball. She's giving me like Lady Brody Lee. Brody King. Rest in peace, Brody Lee. But I like that you have some like Alexa Bliss, rolling sentons, DDT, fired back up, moving forward. Like some interesting offense for someone that was kind of acting as an underdog babyface. Like, underdogs don't usually bust out a DDT, I don't think. So I kind of liked what we had going on here. And you have Green and Fire trying to interfere and Charlotte cutting them off. We get this gory bomb, Vader bomb, little duo ending. And Bliss rolls her up for the pin with this. The heel's getting destroyed. the heel's destroying Bliss and Charlotte post-match with that gory bomb and Vader bomb combo. So this kind of went the way that I assumed it would, because this was never going to be a one and done. I think mixing Chelsea's personality into this duo with Charlotte and Alexa that's been working so well is a good call. Like, I think that's a smart program. So I'm not mad about it. This was perfectly suitable. I love watching Piper wrestle. I think Alexa did just fine holding her on. Kind of paint by numbers, but the numbers added up to something that made sense. So I'm not too mad about it. How about you?
So I lived for this match, except for one thing, and I'll do that at the end. First, okay. The pre-match, I don't know if you've ever seen that meme where the mom busts in the room and says, which one of you took a S-word in the toilet? Disgusting! And I peeped at that was how Piper Niven said it in the pre-match. And I popped. That pop, if Piper popped the boys in the back, I was the boys in the back. It popped me. I thought that was really funny. I also really, 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 really liked Piper Niven in the ring tonight. Not to say that she was ragdolling Alexa Bliss, but for 90% of the match, she was kind of ragdolling Alexa Bliss. And whether that was Alexa's just selling like, goddamn, stop. Or if that's just Alexa, goddamn, stop. I was sports entertained, you know what I mean? My only complaint here is right when Alexa starts going and she gets a little something, Piper knocks her down. Okay, right when Alexa gets going again, she wins with a roll-up. I think we can have our tag team champion win with a little bit more than a roll-up, you know? And it was a roll-up and then, wow, I'm surprised I won. What you mean you surprised me? I don't know. That's my only complaint, but overall, I thought this was great. And I agree with you about Chelsea Green and her personality with these guys. Because Charlotte Flair normally would be like, what the f- is this? But I like it because Chelsea's going to be on her. And I live for this, actually.
I agree with you. There are certain complaints about the Vince era that have snuck back into WWE programming so hard. Constant DQ finishes. There have not been a non-DQ finish on Raw since July 14th, a month ago. And that was a gauntlet match that had interference in it, in the main event.
You having to look it up to make sure you had your stats right. I'm Screen Kate.
I heard it from Jeremy Lambert, so blame him. But I actually catch in the weeds every weekday morning with Jeremy Lambert and either Joel Pearl or SB3. They do a phenomenal job with that show. We don't talk about it enough, but a wrestling morning show that's not busted open. Yeah, we got one right here on Fightful, but go to Fightful Overbooked. But like the DQ finishes, the constant roll-ups, the constant interferences, these are things that wrestling fans vocalize their complaints about by not buying tickets anymore and tuning out of the product. So I don't want to see them come back. I will say Alexa rolling up Piper is something that like feels like she did it opportunistically. Like disparity in size is so much that I buy that she used that to quickly escape and try and win a match. So not mad about that. But if that's your only complaint about the match, let me tell you something you're going to have like no complaints about, my friends. That's NordVPN, baby.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I love it when our services sell themselves, man, because right now there's just no better time to have a VPN if you're a wrestling fan. Like the login fatigue, the price gouging on different services, the addition of ESPN, AEW being on a pay-per-view model. Like just WWE, if you get NordVPN, just watch everything on Netflix. That's what I do. It's so much easier. That's going to continue for PLEs. I'm so sick of not only the cost, but having to log into 8 different things. NordVPN makes it really, really easy. And if you go to Fightful Select and you use lockpicks to win money with one of our other sponsors that we're going to tell you about in a little bit, that stuff's going to pay for itself. I'm just saying. And it'll also pay for itself if you just use it. Buy an AEW pay-per-view that you were planning on for a cheaper rate anyway. It's all right there for you, baby. So that's what's up. But Aaron Ruiz saying, love Charlexa and Hervis, but a draft is needed. So she says not a draft. Well, here's the problem. They screw the draft up every year.
That's the problem. That's what I said, not a draft.
But it is like there's definitely some sort of roster mix-up that needs to happen. Sami Zayn saying, I'm on the SmackDown roster now, makes me think we're not getting any sort of draft. Like, it makes me think people are just going to be on the brands that they're on because he just fervently announced it. I prefer that if they're just going to have drafts that they end up ignoring anyway, but I would prefer there being some sort of logic. Like, they have done a draft, they have done trades, they have done signings to different brands, they've done a superstar shakeup, they've done the wild card rule, like pick a
quarterly transfer between promotions.
The transfer portal, like I like kayfabe one. So I like it when someone gets signed to a brand or traded. Like I like it when it's just on screen decisions by GMs that want talent on their show. That's just my preference. But let's keep moving along. More women's wrestling to talk about. Jade Cargill and Tiffany Stratton are bickering, but Nia Jax comes in and demands another title shot for some reason. And Kiana James offers Tiffany back up against Julia, but Tiffany declines. Nia Jax just had a match on NXT. It feels like they were maybe setting up a more extended program. I don't know why she would just want another, like everybody just wants a shot. how done do we have to be with Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax for that program to be over? But this is all fine. I do genuinely wonder, like, what is properly next for Tiffany? Because it doesn't feel like she's losing that title anytime soon, but it also feels like her reign is starting to wear thin a little bit. So what are we doing next for real? For real. And why can't our women's U.S. title champion defend literally ever?
Honestly, so answer the first question is, it's hard for anyone, I think, especially in that mid, I know, I'm just saying anyone on the men's, in the women's division, when you don't build up credible challengers. If you build up the same four people, it's a little hard for me to say, okay, who can she take on next? That's a good question. Who can she take on next? If it's not Nia, if it's not Jade, Naomi's busy, you're not doing Bianca, Alexa Bliss and Charlotte is busy.
It would be cool for Jordynne Grace to just come up and dethrone her, but I don't have a feeling that's happening anytime soon because she's entrenched in this Blake Monroe program on NXT. But like, I'm trying to think, like, is it just going to be Jade later down the line? Are they waiting for Bianca to get back? Because she's had some issues with that healing finger. So I don't know, man. I don't know. But I want to see Julia defend on a regular basis. It's a workhorse title. Yeah. Can we just see it?
I will say to your second point, again, Zelina Vega stan here.
Of course.
Why take it off of Zelina to then not have it fit? I would rather you do a hot potato, like you said, so I can see the title. But again, the next problem then becomes, who are your challengers? You're building up Mia Yim. I'm hoping, you know, you have Kiana James doing managerial stuff. I won't lie, I haven't watched SmackDown consistently for a very long time, so I'm still trying to figure out who's on the brand. Certainly not Rhea or Roxanne or Raquel are going to be in that. Build up your mid-card, your undercard. I mean, not for nothing. I'm not sure if Maxine Dupri is on this roster, or is that Raw?
She's on Raw. She'll be facing Becky, or she just faced Becky, excuse me, on Monday.
Okay, then never mind. That goes my whole analogy. I'll just say, just for the sake of argument, you have someone like Maxine Dupri who has built in babyface underdog, because we've seen from whence she came and where she's at now. And I think Maxine Dupri, with a little bit more spit, rub, and shine, because she wants it. You can tell when she wrestles, she'll be all right. She's like Harley Cameron, if you will. I can tell you want it. Okay. You just need a little more spit, polish, and shine. That's someone you can build up your undercard. If she doesn't win, it's not a problem because we know where her ability is, but also we're going to root for her. We're going to cheer for her. You're building up somebody and giving them experience against Julia. If Roxanne wasn't in a tag team, Roxanne versus Julia would have been fantastic. You know, I think there are things that you could do, but it always boils down to, who are your challengers? Because everybody just beats every certain group of people. And then you say, nah, this is a challenger. No, they lose all the time. It sucks.
Yeah. And it does feel like we get the same kind of thing on the men's side of, it's just like the same eight people always facing each other and not a lot of expansion beyond that. And there is like Ivy Nile never gets to do anything. And then when she does, she's insanely impressive. Like, I don't know. I think Maxine still has a long way to go in the ring, but everybody is giving, like, putting their faith behind her. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of main roster names.
Yeah, you can tell she wants it. Like I'm not saying that her and Harley are, like, the same, but you can tell that they both really, really want this. And that's the comparison I'm trying to make. Like, you can tell when Maxine wrestles, she's like, I'm going to make somebody proud, damn it.
Can't hate on that. Can't hate on that. That's for sure. That's for sure. But we will see. We will see what gets properly lined up here. But I don't need, like, I just want to see Julia wrestle.
Yeah. And I want a proper challenger for Tiffany. Maybe Bailey. Bailey's about to do something. Maybe she goes somewhere else and does a flip-flop invitational cross-brand promotional.
She went a little nuts on Monday. I don't think she's like, well, I guess I'm on this brand. She's gone Looney Tunes, man. So we'll see ya. She had a creepy ass giggle.
She hanging out with Malachi Black in that closet, picking a fight with somebody.
Like it, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Don't know what's going on, but guys, keep those super chats and humper chats coming. Thank you so much for your support so far as we move along. Here we get Fraxium versus The Miz and Carmelo. We get some really fun, fast offense from Fraxium. I love Carmelo Hayes hitting a Tiger Driver. This was going exactly where we thought it was. We get some Miz and Hayes miscommunication. We get Fraxium nearly getting the pinfall with that Spanish Fly Phoenix Splash combo, which is always great. But we have this, like, Hayes hitting an Avalanche Black Crush and then Miz tagging himself in to steal the win with the Skull Crushing finale, and Carmelo Hayes is annoyed that Miz steals the glory here. The Miz went away and he came back and Carmelo was like, I don't want to hang out with you. And the Miz was like, but we're gonna. Like, why doesn't Carmelo Hayes just piss off, man? Like, I don't understand why he's going out there for the match. I get it from the perspective of they're going to tell this story, but the Miz straight up went away for months. I don't understand, like, why he just waltzed back in and they were like, you know what story was super hot when the Miz went away? We have to pick this up immediately. This has literally always been bad. It has only been bad. When I see Carmelo Hayes, like, show out the way that he's capable of, I get more and more frustrated that he is not being pushed as a star, because, like, he's a complete wrestler. He can promo. He's cool. He's got the in-ring down. Like, I'm like, what are they not seeing that I am seeing, or vice versa? Like, what is it that they think is missing to trap this guy in this program with The Miz for literally months? I don't know. But you were more sports entertained by this episode in general than me. So did you like this? I kind of wanted to actually see more because Fraxium and Carmelo are so great and The Miz plays his role super well. I was kind of hoping this would, like, kick into another gear that didn't kick into. But what did you think of all this?
I am an ethical Miz hater. So let me say that everything I'm about to say is in regards to kayfabe. So put your pitchforks away. Man. Oh, I have to sneeze. Hold on 1 second.
We'll allow it.
mute your mics, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be that person in the call. Hey, what do we got to do to break Carmelo free from these Miz chains, right? Right. The match itself was fine. It was what it needed to be. But if you're trying to convince Carmelo Hayes to not break a bottle over your head, why do you keep tagging him in? Why do you keep tagging yourself in, rather? Why are you NBA young boy in this young man? I am so sick of The Miz. When we said we want Carmelo, not like this. Please, please. The match itself was fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did his old trip and pushed for the win. But at this point, like you said, if I'm Carmelo Hayes, I'm taking a walk. However, I'm on TV now because of you, and I hate this for me. 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 I might have to bang 316 you, but I hate this for me if I'm Carmelo Hayes. So, on the one hand, again, I am an ethical Miz hater. Anything he touches, I'm like, get this man out of here. But if it turns to a Miz turn, I'm like, even then, I low-key don't want to see that. I don't even want to see you get beat up in this situation. I want to see Carmelo Hayes go against Shinsuke Nakamura, two forgotten soldiers.
I feel like, I always appreciate when wrestling companies tie up loose ends, but there's some stuff that just needs to be abandoned, and this was one of them. I'm glad that the story is at least leading toward a Miz and Carmelo split, but I was like, they weren't together that long, and the Miz flat out disappeared. Like, this doesn't need, like, all the story continuity. I'm like, what are we doing? Why is this the story that they care about that with?
Didn't he get kidnapped? The Miz got kidnapped by the Wyatt Six.
Was that after Melo? I feel like that was that before the Melo? I think that was before the Melo angle. Now you're testing. Now we're going to move on, because what if I'm wrong? And you just exposed me live on air.
Listen, I say this every week and I'll say it again. I don't watch professional wrestling. I have no idea where I'm at right now.
It's true. I don't either. We're just here yapping.
Just yapping about nothing.
Well, we move on to honestly what I think was probably one of the more consequential things to happen on tonight's show. We get this Drew McIntyre program who insists he didn't attack Cody and calls it self-defense. And he kind of says, like, who is Cody without this crowd? Who is Cody without this title? He's nobody. Like, he's here for the title, for himself, his family, and the payday, and says that he's the real nightmare. I like this fire from Drew. I like that everybody in the world is happy that Cody is champion except for Drew McIntyre. But I also like that he calls out, because since Cody came back, like, his whole story has revolved around the title in some way, shape, or form, whether it was him earning his way to it or like in relation to his dad holding it or never getting to hold it rather, and all these things. Like, it's always been about that. So I like that Drew was like, I feel that Cody Rhodes should be having an identity crisis about this. I kind of like that. So I liked this promo. I feel like a Drew and Cody program is a good opening program because Cody's not losing his first defense. And Drew is a top of the card opponent for him. I liked all of this. This was thumbs up for me.
Drew McIntyre has that particular swag about him, like Kevin Owens, where you can be face, but not too much. But when you are a piece of crap, oh man. This is so good. I hate that you're so good at being a piece of crap. I gotta tell you, Corporate Cresta wants to say expletives about how terrible of a human being you are. Compliment. It's so good. Him saying, first of all, it was the you people promo. I'm like, okay. And then it was followed up by, I'm the actual victim. I'm like, wow, come on. Twice. Two cliche promos in one, Drew McIntyre. You got me, gal. This was so good, and I think that this is the perfect person for Cody because maybe I am a hater, but I'm kind of sick of Cody with this goody two-shoes. Beat him up. I want Cody to win, yes, but also beat him up.
Corporate Cresta going heel. I like it.
Are corporations faces? More at 11. Never.
Corporation's faces. It's so good. I love it. Well, you know what else I love is more tag wrestling on SmackDown. Now, we talk about it week over week, but the disparity between these divisions is ridiculous. What we have on SmackDown versus what we have on Raw is kind of wild. But we have the Street Profits and B-Fab mocking Solo and his crew backstage before Eric Rowan is just like lurking with his giant hammer, which I am here for. But that moves us into this DIY versus Street Profits match. They never really explained why B-Fab is back with Street Profits. She just is. Like, she was with Mia Yim, and now she's not. And she's back with them. So there's that. But this was good. We have DIY kind of like isolating Dawkins until Montez Ford hot tags in. Candace trying to help, but B-Fab pump kicking her. So I like that the ladies might be getting their own peripheral program out of this, or at least they were equalizing each other in this. But ultimately, we have Ford finishing Ciampa. We get that from the heavens for the pin. And I was glad to see that we just got like a clean tag team wrestling match. That was refreshing to see with teams that can wrestle. There has been like teased dissension between the Street Profits. We'll see if they ever follow through with that. But this was perfectly serviceable. It didn't really have a lot on it as far as for contendership or like stakes wise. But sometimes you just need a good tag team wrestling match between two great teams with very different styles. I'm here for it. Were you sports entertained is the question.
I have a question for you first. Mm-hmm. How do you define clean? Candice LeRae hit Dawkins with a Hurricane Rana. This was not clean.
Okay, not clean, but B-Fab was out there to keep, you know what I mean? It was like, we were equalized at least, not clean.
Okay,
that's fair.
All right. I was horsing. You should. I apologize. no, Perfect. This match was
turns heel and is horsing around.
someone call PETA. She's doing too much. Nah, I thought this match was pretty fine. No, say what you really mean. I don't want to see DIY. I'm tired of seeing DIY. I'm going into business for myself on this one. I'm so sorry. Let the DIY thing go, man. Like, we already have a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't need another tag team that does the same exact thing. And maybe that's me being a hater. That is me being a hater. But I'm glad that everyone's getting a check out of this. I'm glad that the ladies especially are getting a check out of this. But honestly, I'm tired of DIY. What's Hank and Tank doing?
What's Hank and Tank doing? So I will say this. I can understand your fatigue about DIY. And you're not the only one with it. But they've been doing a lot of programs where there's been like a lot of multi-tag team matches. And they're always the ones, in my opinion, that go in and make sense of stuff when there's like TLC matches or whatever. Like, they're the team that always is like, as a tag team, ring generaling like eight other guys at any given time. So I feel like their value at this point is very much like in that regard. But to your point, like, Street Profits are veterans. They don't need the veteran prowess of DIY to help them out and move them along. So I understand what you're saying. And I know there's a lot of other people that are like, we've seen it.
Don't get me wrong. I know that if Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano in the ring, the whole time I'm going to be scowling because they're going to be hooping. I've seen Johnny Gargano go through 50 million tables and pop up like I am barely affected by this. You know what I mean? I know it's going to be a good match, but maybe it's just me not connecting to the characters, but that's them fair. Together, I'm like, I know you're just going to turn on each other and then you're going to be friends out of nowhere. Then you're going to turn on.
That is a perfectly valid criticism and opinion. Like I hear you on it. I just love them. So get over it.
That's also funny. Hey, what am I going to do? I'm not going to do anything. You're right. Senior jackass here at Fightful gets over it. March 11th.
Well, honestly, like, will one of them turn heel on each other? I would put money on it, but there's only one place that I would put money on wrestling in general. And that's at my bookie.
My bookie AG is where Fightful is getting all of our odds. Not just pro wrestling, which, yeah, you can bet on pro wrestling. UFC, boxing, that's where we're getting our odds from. If you're watching In the Weeds and they're talking about basketball odds, it's going to be from MyBookie AG. Use the code FIGHTFUL, get a $50 bonus when you deposit $100, or get a $100 bonus when you deposit $200. Check it out. If you think you know more than the average wrestling fan, head over to MyBookie. They have some odds up all the time for upcoming events, whether it be WWE, AEW, anybody. Make sure you check them out in addition to their other fantastic deals. They've been around for quite a while, very reliable. MyBookie AG, use that code FIGHTFUL. Now, only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly, but head over, see what lines they got now. Not just for pro wrestling. Maybe you're interested in baseball, football, basketball, soccer, or just football again, right? MyBookie AG.
MyBookie AG, best place you can bet on pro wrestling. Stay tuned to our social media as well. We have kind of what the odds are on things in graphic form for you all, so you can stay up to date. But head over to MyBookie AG to see what is open, the odds. You know what? Let's see if anything's open. We had UFC odds for you as well that you can check out, but they will be all over this stretch of programming that we have coming up. So check it all out. But we get a backstage of Carmelo Hayes demanding his U.S. title shot and The Miz interrupting. And Motor City Machine Guns butts in. And we have Miz and Hayes versus Motor City Machine Guns next week. They have done an incredible job at making Motor City Machine Guns, one of the best tag teams in the world, feel extremely medium.
What have they done to my boys?
It was so funny because when we had Cardoza on here, he was not really a follower of Motor City Machine Guns. He'd mostly been watching WWE and AEW. They weren't popping up there. And so the joke we had was like how they were so young and up and coming because they were brand new to Alex. And then I have my TNA gal who has been covering them for a while, seen them for years. Like, and I like the switch in dynamic, but I'm with you. I feel like they came in hot. They won the titles very shortly after they signed, but right now they just kind of feel like guys. If that's the stage of their career that they're in, if that's the role they're supposed to be playing, that's cool. And they always show up in the ring, but they just kind of feel like guys to me. We'll see what comes of this tag match. I'm hoping the next evolution of Miz and Hayes splitting is where we're at. But any thoughts on this, or wait and see next week?
How do we get Carmelo Hayes out of this Miz vortex? I ask again to the crowd. Number one. Number two, my favorite quotes of this, are you him or are you his?
Also, that was pretty great.
More like Motor City squirt guns. You guys can't make an impact. And I was like, all right, you ate that. And I think Shelly said, all right, funny. You're real funny. And again, I root back to number one. What do we got to do to get Carmelo Hayes out of this Miz vortex? Because even then, like, I don't want you to, you're going to beat up the Miz, okay? Or the Miz is going to get some other lackey who doesn't watch the product, I guess. Maybe I'm a hater. I am a hater.
Watch the product. You're corporate Cresta. It's not your job. Right. Your job is to protect the company. And if this is how you have to do it by being a hater, I respect it, quite frankly. I respect it, but moving along through this. Not a ton else to talk about outside of the main event. A couple backstages. So last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. You guys have been great with the support all night. We get this recap of John Cena and Logan Paul. We have R-Truth giving this oddball interview before Aleister Black confronts him. And R-Truth is Ron Killings, whoever this man is kind of teasing this multiple personalities gimmick, and not to whatever, but I alluded to this the past couple weeks, because at the media junket, if you asked Ron Killings a question, he responded as Ron Killings. If you asked R-Truth a question, he responded as R-Truth. And I really like this idea that he would be happy-go-lucky R-Truth to goat you into accepting in a match with him. And then when it's time for the match, Ron Killing shows up and all of a sudden it's this holy crap version of him. I think it's a really interesting character, and it's not one that everybody could play, but he has the ability for it. Like, that is like, feels like an R-Truth Ron Killing's wheelhouse kind of evolution. So that's why I know a lot of people were frustrated, because they were like, did they retcon that? Did they just pretend it never happened? But I was like, well, I'm going to be patient on this because I got a sneak preview at the junket, I felt like. So it seems like we're headed in that direction. Do you have an interest in that, or are you kind of like, pick a lane, buddy?
I don't mind the schizophrenic thing, if that's what he's going to do, or the split personalities. I don't know what the politically correct term is. I apologize. But my follow-up with WWE is always going to be the follow-up. Just do something with it. I think Aleister Black is somebody who's going to be a good check for him in that sense. If you're going to wrestle serious, Aleister's not going to not let you wrestle serious. You know what I mean? So even if he does lose, or I mean, if he wins, loses, or draws, I just want to see how that's going to play out and what's the follow-up. If there's no follow-up, I'll be sports disappointed, but not sports surprised. But I think you're right. He does have the prowess and the chops, because R-Truth, Ron Killings is a good, good wrestler. He chooses to be jokey joke, and it works. Get your money. T-Pain sang an auto-tune because it made him money, not because he couldn't sing. You know what I mean? So, like, get your money. I want to see what the follow-up is, and I think Aleister Black is a good way to start that. So, and I also like Aleister Black, too. So I want to see what's about. I can't wait to see how this turns out.
I'm intrigued. I will say there's a little too much of that on script. Like, Bailey just had this weird little nutty laugh that she did at the end of her promo. Like, the Wyatt Six are already a little bit dissociated from reality and in a way. So I don't want them to keep going to this well too much, but I think for R-Truth it works. Like, I'm at least willing to see it move forward. I will say, though, this is another example of a program that I think I might like, of guys that are already made dudes fighting each other. When you have a future of the company, I'm going to be really dramatic intentionally on this. So just know that I know I'm being hyperbolic, but I'm going to do it. They have a future of the company crisis on their hands. Because the only star under like 35 is Bron Breakker being made right now. And I feel like they need, these are the people that like Carmelo needs to be facing, are guys like this, and they're all facing each other. Similarly, I love the Miro and Sheamus promo or program rather that's running. I think it's really, really fun. But like, do they need to be facing each other? If we're doing this bar replay thing, I get it. But like, a lot of these guys are in stages of their life where I feel like they should be working to make future talent look right. And I just don't see that happening. So I'm excited about what they're giving me. But when I pull back from that, I'm like, is this the best use of the guys, though, is something that I am still kind of struggling with. But
you make a good point there about the future of the company crisis. I didn't really think about that until you're like, yeah, no, really, like, Bron Breakker, no, not a late night.
He's 40.
Carmelo Hayes, I'm like, who else? Who else? Like, and anyone else I could think of is an NXT.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Obafemi's a generational talent if they raise him right, and they're doing that so far. But, like, when Grayson Waller came up, he was facing, like, Edge and Cody and, like, really important people, and then he got lost in Austin Theory land. There's a lot of handoffs that they still have not corrected from the perspective of like the NXT to main roster move. They've got work to do on that. And they released a bunch of youngsters. This is exactly right. Like,
not the youngsters.
Not the kids. What, somebody please think of the children.
Dang, man, not the younglings.
Well, let's close out because Crest has been up early. We are
tired, y'all. I love y'all. I love and respect y'all.
But let's talk real quick about Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso, and Jacob Fatu versus Solo Sikoa, JC Mateo, and Tongaloa. Some good backstage work with Jimmy Uso being the linchpin in all of this, right? Like, Sami and Jimmy have had a relationship. Jacob and Jimmy have had a relationship. Can Sami and Jacob trust each other? Like, do they have each other's back? And Fatu, in the way that only Jacob Fatu can, makes it abundantly clear that this is for Jimmy and not for Sami, which I think is good, because I think you could see a Jacob Fatu Sami feud down the line. My only thing is, both of these guys are faces. Jacob Fatu is a really big, intimidating face, but everybody's cheering for him. But this was fine. This was much cleaner than anything we've gotten on Raw in the past month, so I'll take it. But we get the heels kind of toying with Sami Zayn early with some cheap shots, but we get that tornado DDT, and we get a tag into Fatu, and Jacob Fatu as a hot tag is fun as hell, because he goes wild. Sentons, headbutts, avalanches, oh my, like, this was so much fun. You got Jimmy diving onto JC Mateo. You got Fatu with a pop-up Samoan drop on Tongaloa, who crucially is not Tama Tonga, despite what the graphics said. But Tongaloa countering a Swanton with the knees, and Solo nearly winning with the big splash, but Sami hitting the exploder in the corner and the Huluva kick. We do have a chat here that says, shout out to Talatonga and Wildawanga. Wildawanga.
Some of these names are just like, you know what? I'm a mind my business. You know what I mean? But I'm looking suspiciously, but I'm going to mind my business.
I love it. I thought this was fun. I think there's intrigue, which I like, but I just, it's a little confusing to like, hi, I'm Sami Zayn. I'm on this program now, even though I've been obsessed with the world title picture for the past, like, and the people in it for the past few months. But like, what they gave me made wrestling sense. I won't deny that. That was fine.
No, I'll agree with you there. It's just, in that sense, it is incredibly frustrating, because I'm one of those people who are on the Sami Zayn train of, when is he going to win the big one? Let's put a big one on him. Don't be afraid. And I feel like every time he even sniffs it, they're like, be gone, foul demon. So I'm like, okay, fine. I don't mind a Solo a consolation prize. I'm sorry. This match between them and the NFTs, between Jacob Fatu, Jimmy Uso, and Sami Zayn and the NFTs was really, really good. I won't lie. I kind of live for that solo comedy, like everything he does. Like, brother, you really think you HBK in the 90s? Like, and then who am I? Who am I to tell him? Because you can't tell him nothing. He's HBK in the 90s. That being said, I don't know, man. Sammy, if you're going to pin him, you should at least let him win. What is Jacob doing then? If Sammy pins Solo, then does that mean now Jacob got beef with Sammy because you took what I wanted? How Sammy not trustworthy? He was getting beat down by Roman, bro. He's free. He's Dobby. He is free now. So he's not getting beat down by Roman no more. He's proven that he's trustworthy. So I don't know. But it's also Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens is a not trustworthy one. So I don't know. it's a mess. That's a mess over there in that regard. But if you don't think about it like that, I was sports entertained.
I think now I'm like nervous Sammy's going to win because they might want to keep Fatu heel, but just ride the wave of what the crowd is giving you. Like, I don't want Sammy to win so that we can transition it back to Fatu when you could just have a hot potato between Solo and Fatu. That'll, now that we're saying it out loud, I'm like, what company is this? That'll be a triple threat. Of course it'll be a triple threat. This is WWE.
Yeah.
That was goofy of me. I forgot who I was talking about here. That'll be a triple threat. They'll be clashing in Perry or something. So that's how that's going to go. But that was our show tonight. That was our main event. A Sammy win. I can't really complain about a main event. I'm such a Sami Zayn sicko. Like, I love watching him wrestle. I buy into him every single time. So don't let me down at Royal Rumble. Let's make this Sammy's moment and time. But it is Cresta's time to call it a day. She's got some really fun content coming out for you guys. Not mine to say. I don't want to get in trouble with HR, but Cresta, where can people find some fun stuff that you might have coming up?
In my bed. That's where you can find Cresta's star right now.
Well, be careful. You don't want to tell the internet that they can find fun stuff in your bed. They're going to get weird on you.
It seems that I have made a grave error in my speech. No, guys, thank you so much for being here. Kate, thank you as always for having me on the SmackDown show. You guys are always so kind and welcoming over here. I have some cool stuff coming out. I can't say too much soon, but I will say that I met a really cool wrestler today and I'm on cloud nine. I've been up since 6 a.m. I'm so incredibly tired. I'm here every Saturdays and every Thursdays, going over the TNA show and the AEW Collision show with Rick and Iridian on Saturdays and Joe Pearl on Thursdays. We won't be live tomorrow. As you can clearly see, we weren't live tonight for the Emergence show. We won't be live tomorrow for Collision, because I think Collision was pre-recorded on Thursday.
But it airs tomorrow.
Oh, I lied. I don't know what's going on. I'm tired. I've got 2 brain cells and 2 + 2 = 9. Follow me on social media. It's Cresta Star everywhere except for X, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion, 2 E's, because I'm not going to say that, so I make another grave error. You guys have been fantastic. I'm ready to go to sleep in my Macho Man onesies.
I love that for you. That's Cresta with the double E's. That's all I'm going to say. But you can catch me at Miss Kate Fave on social media. I have a full week of content coming out for you guys next week that I think has some fun stuff on it. But my latest video was about 3 things that I was wrong about with AEW. So you can go over there and check that out. But we're going to have some WWE-related content coming out over there as well. So Miss Kate Fave on social media and YouTube. We're going to get out of here. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Stay tuned for the Collision Post Show, which maybe Cresta will be at if she's not too tired. We're going to find out together. I feel like that's beautiful. And stay tuned for Grapsody as well. We've got content for you all weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.